We are joined by the president of basketball operations for the Portland Trail Blazers. He is in his seventh season with the Trail Blazers. He was named 10th GM in franchise history back in June of 2012. He is a member of the LeMoyne College Hall of Fame. Portland was 53-29 in the regular season, and they're in the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 19 years. Portland is at Golden State, game two this evening, 9 p.m. Eastern. Neil Olshay is my guest. Neil, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Neil, thanks so much for doing it. You know, if you don't mind, Neil, I think to fully understand where this organization is, and before we get to tonight's game, can I get you just to go back to April 21st, of 2018, you'd been swept by New Orleans. It was a really tough finish to a really good season, but it was also the 10th straight loss in the postseason. Can you tell me what kind of emotions were you feeling at that point?
Well, you know, I think everyone got a little carried away with the 10th straight loss, right? I mean, when I think six of them were to Golden State. So there was, you know, there's no indignity there when they basically swept their way to the finals every year through the Western Conference. But you know, it was really kind of a wake-up call, Jim. I think, you know, we've discussed this. We were really conservative at the trade deadline, you know, last year. We felt like we had a team that was really capable as constructed to get through the first round. And, you know, then we were kind of looking ahead at, you know, Golden State and Houston. Both of them looked pretty unbeatable at that point in February. And we really were, you know, conservative about including assets in deals that could hurt the long-term future of the organization for what might have just been an incremental upgrade. Now, as it turned out, you know, we miscalibrated. We had some injuries going into that playoff run. Alvin Gentry and his guys did an unbelievable job. Everybody had career runs in the playoffs for them, and it kind of woke us up that we needed to be more aggressive supporting the current core rather than just asset preservation going forward.
You know, I understand that, Neil. I respect that. I would still say that it would have been very easy, maybe even very understandable, for you to make some big moves in the offseason, either with your coaching staff or with your core players. And with respect to what you just said, you didn't do those things. Why didn't you?
Well, I think, you know, what we discussed after the season was, you know, we are going to look at that playoff sweep and we're going to learn from it and we're going to react to it. But we're not going to overreact to four games in April after winning 49 games and being the three seed. So, you know, we didn't skate into the playoffs as an 8 with a 500 record. I mean, we almost won 50 games. We were the three seed in the Western Conference. So we had earned the right to be there, and that was a testament to the job Terry had done all year and the core of the roster. So, you know, we believed in that group. We just felt like, you know, there are some areas that it needed to be supported. And we did that, you know, in the offseason, adding Seth Curry. We did that by creating more playing time for Zach Collins. And, you know, Yusuf Nurkic came back a much better player. We saw his growth potential. And then, you know, we actually doubled down on it at the trade deadline with Rodney Hood and, you know, then in the buyout market with Enes Kanter. So, like I said, I think, you know, we didn't want to overreact to a playoff loss to a very good team with, you know, all-star players on it. We didn't want to take it for granted either. But like I said, we believed in our coaching staff. We had great support from Paul, God rest his soul, that, you know, once we kind of did our analysis after the season and showed him where we could improve and why we should continue to believe in the core of the roster, you know, he was all in and he was fully committed to the direction of the franchise.
Neil Olshay joining us. I mean, you're being very tactical and very strategic about it, not emotional. I still think that it took a lot of courage as well as a strength and conviction in your vision and your work to stay the course, and you did, and it's paying off. But then, Neil, this year has been so challenging because, I mean, you have injuries, you have the passing of Paul Allen, as you point out, a season-ending injury to Nurk, the car accident involving Jonathan Yim. Any of these incidents could have derailed the season, but the team just kept on battling and fighting. What has this season been like for you from an emotional standpoint?
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, there have been a lot of swings. You know, we felt so good about where our roster was, you know, adding Rodney and Enes, you know, at the trade deadline in the buyout market. We felt like it was the deepest and most talented team we'd had since we'd been in Portland. And then to watch Nurk, who really is the emotional heart and soul. I mean, obviously Damian Lillard's our leader. You know, he's our general. But, you know, Nurk is the kind of guy, he's an incredible spirit. And as what was really considered a reclamation project when we got him, you know, he's so intrinsically invested in our organization because of what we'd have been able to do, you know, for him and in turn what he's done for us. And, you know, and then on a basketball side, you know, Jim, he's our highest net rating player. You know, his on-off rating is second in the league among centers behind only Brook Lopez. And, you know, we were 10.5 points per 100 better when Nurk was on the floor. So, you know, not only have to deal with Nurk and losing him emotionally and losing, you know, one of the best rim protectors and physical presences in the league, but, you know, then to have Ennis come in, and then Ennis separates his shoulder, and we've got him playing at 50%. So, you know, I mean, it's really a testament to Terry being able to keep the group together, being able to continually, like, plug guys into our system, making sure that we have, you know, one of the things we did in the offseason, not to get off track, was instead of trying to find guys that did things we didn't have, we were really committed to getting more of what we were doing well. So Ennis, you know, left block, you know, free throw line, elbow, offensive rebounder like Nurk. Rodney Hood's another guy, plays a very similar style to our perimeter guys that have been successful. We got him. So we really wanted to make sure that we were not as vulnerable as we'd been in the past to one or two injuries because we were too top heavy. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that right now. But a lot of the credit goes to Terry and the coaching staff that they kept all those guys engaged. You know, there were guys like Zach Collins when we brought Ennis Kanter in that completely lost his role in his playing time. And then we asked him to step right back in when we got into the late season and into the playoffs. And he hasn't missed a beat, and he's been on a great run.
Neil O'Shea joining us. What a great answer that is, Neil. I appreciate that. It's like when you have guys like that and you're talking about plugging them in and the coaches have to keep them engaged, but you are trying to bring in different guys with different games and different talents and different skill sets. So when you bring in like a Seth Curry and a Rodney Hood and an Ennis Kanter, you want to evaluate their talent, of course, but how do you evaluate how they might fit culturally and whether or not they'll actually step up when they need to? How do you evaluate that type of thing?
Well, and I appreciate you bringing that up because that's paramount to us. You know, we build our organization on talent, character, and chemistry, and we won't sacrifice any of those three, Jim. If it's a guy that we really feel like isn't going to assimilate into our locker room culture, you know, what we expect from guys off the floor, you know, we've had to take passes on guys that were, you know, have big names that are, you know, that are really talented, but we know they're not going to fit into how we do things. And, you know, 4 years ago, we had a lot of turnover and we built our culture around Damian, you know, the kind of person he is on and off the court. And we want guys that, you know, respond to the same kind of triggers and, you know, and have the same value system, you know, as people. And it's really important. And I think, you know, my staff does a great job. Bill Branch is one of the best pro personnel guys in the league. And he does a great job on intel, making sure that, you know, their character off the floor reconciles with their abilities on the floor.
You know, as an example, Neil, right, like Rodney Hood, part of the move to get him was he had to give up his bird rights. What did that say about him and that he was willing to do that to join you and be a part of this?
Well, you know, and I appreciate Rodney doing that. You know, we had a lot of talks with Rodney and his agent at the time about, you know, where he was going to fit in. And, you know, and we had to show them examples, Jim. I think one of the benefits of being together, you know, people look at, you know, myself and Terry being here for 7 years, and they point to that playoff sweep, and they were looking at changes. But one of the things people fail to value is when you have consistency, right, and in the organization, you start building a track record. So when we can point to guys that had struggled in other places, like Yusuf Nurkic, like Mo Harkless, like Al-Farouq Aminu, you know, guys that have come in, you know, and they flourished in our system and our culture, it makes it that much easier for Rodney and his representatives to say that they're willing to give up their bird rights, knowing that it's a nurturing environment, it's an empowering environment, and it was going to give him an opportunity to getting back to being the player that he was during his tenure in Utah, you know, that had him on such a great career trajectory.
Neil O'Shea joining us, you bet. Before you go, Neil, you mentioned that Damian Lillard is your leader. We know this. Less than a month after you arrived in Portland, you drafted him. I know that you saw so much in him at that time, and you have so much respect for him. I do as well. What do you make of how he responded to the end of last year, and then how much did that set the tone for everybody else around him?
Well, you know, and look, and with Dame, you know, 4 years ago, you know, I met with Dame and kind of laid out the plan, you know, that, you know, if we lost LaMarcus, we were going to go in a completely other direction. We were going to build around him, not just on the court, but, you know, in terms of our culture. And I wanted to know whether he was ready for that or not, because it was a lot of responsibility. It was a lot to take on for a young guy. And he immediately embraced it. He wanted it. And he's accepted all the extra work that comes with that, Jim. You know, there are a lot of great players in our league, but when you take on and you carry that mantle for the organization and you help recruit and you indoctrinate people into our culture and you lift their spirits when maybe they're not playing and you're a conduit for messaging from the coaching staff back to the locker room, you know, that can wear on players, but it comes so naturally to Damian because he is such a high quality person. And that's why when we drafted him, you know, we gave him the ball day one. I mean, if you look back to our roster construction that first year, you know, we didn't bring in the veteran point guard, you know, hedging our bets. I mean, we said at the press conference, that's our guy. We're going with him day one. We'll live through the bumps and bruises, but this is our franchise point guard for the next decade. And, you know, Damon is, I mean, he's lived up to and surpassed all our expectations because not only does he get it done on the floor as a first-team All-NBA player, but every single day, the way that he treats everybody from the interns, the secretaries, the trainers, all the way up to the head coach, sets a standard of behavior for all of our guys. And that's why I think you see guys that have struggled in other places that are deep down really good guys that have excelled when they've gotten to us because they basically see Dame and they try to emulate how he behaves.
Yeah, it's so great to hear that about Damian Lillard, but not at all surprising. You know, I know it's a game day, and I really appreciate your time so much. How about one quick thought? Time and time again, your team has faced a challenge, and they have bounced back. They've got another one tonight in Game 2 against Golden State. How do you expect everybody to respond to this challenge?
Well, you know, I expect them to be ready. I mean, we were only down 6 at the end of the third. Golden was on more rest than we were, but if you look at the first two series, you know, OKC won their first game at home against us in Game 3. You know, Denver won Game 1 in Denver. It's not unprecedented. I mean, the reason they're the three-time champions and, you know, have a two-time MVP running their team is they win games. You know, they don't lose at home. I think they're 18-1 right now in home games, or in Game 1. So, you know, look, it was a tall task to go get that win after, you know, the emotion of coming back from down 17 at Denver and winning a Game 7 and advancing to the conference finals for the first time in two decades. But, you know, our guys have shown resilience all year. That's who they are. They're going to compete. They're going to be ready. Whether it's enough to get it done against, you know, possibly the greatest constructed roster of all time, you know, under Bob Myers' direction or not, you know, we'll see. But it's not going to be for a lack of effort. It's not going to be for guys, worrying about what the result was in the fourth quarter of Game 1. They're going to look forward and realize that we've faced adversity all year. We've overcome it in the regular season. We've overcome it in the first two rounds of the playoffs. And, you know, Golden's going to have a fight on their hands.
Always. Portland going up Game 2 tonight. That's at Golden State, 9 p.m. Eastern. He is the president of basketball operations. 7 years with that organization. Now he is the 10th GM in franchise history, Neil Olshey. Neil, I so appreciate the relationship and you coming on the show on a game night. Thank you so much for a great conversation.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Great talking to you, Neil. Always. I always look forward to that one. So, Portland, that is such a good conversation. So interesting. And they'll bounce back. I said this after Game 1. There was this kind of narrative that maybe the moment was too big for them. Maybe the stage was too big. I mean, it was such garbage. They were coming off an extremely emotional victory. Come from behind, on the road, Game 7, super short turnaround. Of course, that was a major, major ask for them. Against the Golden State team that was without Kevin Durant, but was well-rested.